This week we want to talk about the people of Rome, the Christians, the followers of Christ in Rome who have been transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes his magnum opus is written to the universal church in Rome. He writes, to all those in Rome. We need to understand that there is a separation between the universal church and the local church. This is a critical ideology. The universal church is all saved individuals in Rome who may or may not congregate in the same place for worship. So this is every Christian in Rome, whether or not they attend the same church, whether or not they've ever met one another, they've all been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives have been transformed and they're walking with Him. They've been washed and cleansed by His transforming blood. This is important for us because it's important for us to understand as Pekin Bible Church that there really are other Christians in Pekin that are not at this church this morning. Did you know that? The universal church is made up of all people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere, and everybody who is in the universal church is a saved follower of Christ. They are going to spend an eternity in heaven. No way about it, no doubts, they're actually going to be there. The second is the local church. The local church is a little different than the universal church. The local church in Rome is all those who attend a local assembly of believers. In the local church, not everyone is necessarily saved. Meaning, it's very possible that there are individuals who attend Pekin Bible Church who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The local church is made up of a group of individuals who claim the name of Christ, even though they may not have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior personally. The Apostle Paul is writing to the universal church, not the local church. He's writing to all those who have been transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them, he says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God. Paul's writing to those who are beloved, those who are endeared by God, those who have been brought into God's family. There is a difference between, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, and the realization that God loves everybody who is in the world. It's true, I love all of you very much. But I don't love any of you as much as I love my children and my wife. They're my family. They're a part of my family. Understand this, that God loves the whole world, and He sent His Son to die for the whole world, and we cannot understand why God would die for anyone, especially die for unjust, terrible, sinful people like us. But He did. And that is a magnificent love that Jesus showed us when He sacrificed Himself on the cross. But only those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior get to experience the magnitude of that love. The love that Jesus has for the body of Christ is greater than the love He had for the world when He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Can you imagine that? I can barely imagine Him loving us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross. Even more so, can you imagine the fact that He loves us even more than that? His magnitude of love is greater than that. So, though God loves the world, not everyone in the world experiences the magnitude of that love through the work of redemption. 1 John 4:10 says this, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins." There's something transforming that takes place when Jesus Christ gives Himself to us, when His blood was shed to us. There's something powerful that happened, but when the Lord Jesus Christ is received into our lives, there's an expanse of that love that is brought into our hearts and into our lives forever. It's different, it's more, it's greater. The word that is used here is agapetos. Many of you have read about agape, right? Agape. Agapetos is God's love, beloved, or the agapetos is those who are worthy of love or who have been made so by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not only are you loved by God, but He says that you're worthy of my love. Not because of what you have done, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, making you worthy, making you enough. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In Him we might become the righteousness of God. So the Apostle Paul is writing to those who are beloved of God and called to be saints. In the Catholic Church, there are steps that an individual has to surpass in order to become a saint, and it's not very likely that any of us are ever going to be saints according to the doctrine of the Catholic Church. But the Apostle Paul is brave enough to say, no, you are all saints in Christ if you know Him as Lord and Savior. We're all saints. He's not writing to a handful of individuals who are superior in their religion. He is writing to all those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when love is perfected, it is displayed in the transformation of a life under surrender to Christ. We're called to be saints. Our lives are transformed. Our hearts are no longer surrendered to ourselves. They are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a dramatic transformation and change that takes place. 1 John 4:13-17, same passage that we read before by John. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. All those who are saved, listen to this, everyone who has actually been transformed by the power and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, any of those who have been transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, those individuals, they abide in God, and He abides in them. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also we are in the world. An important false doctrine for you to know and to understand is the doctrine that teaches that an individual can lose their salvation. The Bible says that we are brought into Christ, and as a result of being brought into Christ, we are no longer a living in fear, but when we face the day of judgment, we know that we will be safe, we know that we'll be accepted into the kingdom of God. The idea that we could lose our salvation, the second question that we have to ask when we say people can lose their salvation is, how bad? How bad does it have to be? Do you have to be a murderer to lose your salvation? Do you have to be an adulterer to lose your salvation? Do you just have to have not given 10% into your offering on Sunday and you've lost your salvation? Where do we draw the line, right? It says that we will not have to worry, but by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence. We are individuals transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we confidently know that we're going to spend an eternity with our Savior Jesus Christ. There's an important delineation we need to understand. That delineation is the difference between churchmanship and Christianity. The preachers of old, if you read the the preachers of old, they like to talk about churchmanship, and good churchmanship is faithfulness to the body of Christ. And I think that good churchmanship is a good thing. But it's not Christianity. Churchmanship, or an adherence to liturgy, to religion, custom, or culture by fulfilling the desired obligations of others. Churchmanship is not a supernatural transformation. Any of you can act like a good churchman without being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible. It's possible to go to church every Sunday. It's possible to give into the offering every Sunday. It's possible to be good to your neighbor and to be a moral business person. It is possible to do all of these things and live in an orderly fashion and be a good citizen and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's possible for you to do that. That's churchmanship. But Christianity is submission to Christ through obedience to His Word. And that's supernatural. When an individual is a good churchman, they follow the regulations of the church. When an individual is a Christian, then they follow the Word of God and it in obedience and total surrender, no matter what may be asked of him. A Christian, when they are called to the mission field, they go. A Christian, when they are called to serve in their church, they go and they serve in their church. A Christian, when they know that the Lord wants them to share the Lord Jesus Christ with another individual, they go and share the Lord Jesus Christ with another individual. They have been transformed supernaturally. They're not just playing church. It's an important difference because Paul is writing to the people at Rome who have been changed supernaturally by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not simply individuals who are attending, taking part in the body of Christ in the local church. Paul is writing to those who have been supernaturally transformed in Rome, and he says to them, listen to these words, grace to you, grace to you. Supernatural transformation comes with the abundant riches of Christ towards those who believe. When somebody says, "May God's grace be upon you," that is a significantly powerful statement. That means that they are asking God to place upon you everything that you deserve because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it earned for you. That's a lot. All of the riches that have been provided to us in Jesus Christ's death on the cross are given to us in grace. Grace is a salvation-based idea. You don't go to an individual who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and pray for them that God's grace would be poured out upon them, because God's grace can't be poured out upon them unless they've been transformed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the tool. The tool used to bring grace into our lives is Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have grace. Grace is not acceptable, is not accessible by those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Now we pray that grace would be infused in them for salvation, for by grace, the means, you have been saved through faith, right? We pray that grace would be poured upon them so that they will be saved, but they cannot live and walk and be empowered by grace apart from salvation. He says, grace to you. He says, walk in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And he says, and peace. Peace is supernatural life lived walking according to the Spirit of God. And it is displayed through peace in the midst of impossible circumstances. Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." So here's the deal. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your life has been transformed. Now the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. You have all of the power, all of the riches that God has promised you in Christ Jesus. You have them all for the taking. And then he says, walk in peace. And Paul says later in Galatians, he says, you cannot walk in peace unless you are walking in the Spirit. So you have the Spirit there. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're not going to have peace. Because I'm telling you, it is very possible. I don't know, maybe I'm the only person that this is possible for, but I've been saved a long time and I still know that I can walk in the flesh. Anybody else? Yeah? Yeah. It's still there. But I know that when I'm walking in the flesh, there's not any peace there. It's when I'm walking in the Spirit that there's peace. With flesh living, there is no peace. If I decide that I'm going to live and walk and determine things on my own, then I am not going to be able to walk in peace. I got a question for you. When I'm going through a difficult time and I don't have any peace walking through that situation, I'm struggling with anxiety, I'm struggling with depression, I'm struggling with fear, I'm struggling with patience, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? I'm walking in the flesh, right? Yeah. I'm walking in the flesh. But when I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm trusting Him to guide and direct and to do what He's going to do, and I find this strength and this courage and this ability to stand strong in the midst of the struggle, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? I'm walking in the Spirit because that's not of us. That's of Christ. Listen, the Apostle Paul knows what's going on in Rome. He knows that they have a terrible emperor. He knows that they are being persecuted. He knows that they are being killed in the streets. He understands all that. And he says to them, listen, walk in the abundance of God's riches towards you and trust Him as you are guided and directed in the Spirit. May that bring you peace in the midst of your trouble. Some of you are having trouble today, probably. Some of you are probably today, you're probably saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know how to trust Him. I don't know, maybe I've made some wrong decisions. You're full of anxiety and you're full of fear and you're full of regret. And I'm saying today that if you would just turn your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, all right, Lord, you can take this thing. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to let you do it. You can find peace there. And maybe 30 minutes later, you'll have to pray and you'll have to say, no, Lord, I give you this thing. I trust you with it. Help me to be patient. Help me to believe that you can do this thing. And you find peace again. And every time you're tempted to pick that thing back up and decide, I'm going to be in charge and I'm going to guide and direct myself, I'm going to walk in my strength and in my power, then you will be scared again and you will be full of frustration and say, give me peace, Lord. I turn it back to you. This is life for us, right? This is a constant battle of, I want to be in charge. No, Lord, you take it. No, I want to be in charge. No, Lord, you take it. The other day, Charlie was helping me paint the downspouts on the house. And Charlie's pretty artistic, so he was doing a pretty good job. But I said, "All right, Charlie, I'm just gonna let you do this. I'm gonna let you handle it. All right." And I found myself walking back over there, and he doesn't hold the brush the way that I think he ought to hold the brush. I say, no, you got to hold it like this, right? And he doesn't put enough paint on his brush, and so I go back over and say, "Hey, listen, you got to put more paint on it. This is going to take you forever, right? I want to take it back. I want to be in charge. I want to control the thing." And we do this in our lives. We say, "Lord, you can have this thing. You can take it. Do with it what you want." And then we pick it back up and say, no, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I'll do a better job." And the problem is, we're talking about me and Charlie. Guess who the better painter is? Charlie. It's Charlie. How dare I go back to the Lord and say, "No, Lord, I don't like the way you're doing this. I changed my mind. I'm going to do it myself." I promise you, there's no peace in that. Fleshly living, there will be no peace. Spirit living, there will be abundant peace. And then he concludes by saying, "From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," to understand this, that grace and peace are a gift of the Father towards those who have believed in and been transformed by the Spirit of God through the atoning blood of Christ. It's available to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, all of his riches and all of his peace are available to us if we will just take them. Grace is not something we can manufacture. I can't decide, "All right, I'm going to claim all the riches of Christ and I'm going to build myself up into a frenzy of strength and power, and I'm going to drink 5 espressos and I'm going to walk in grace. It's all going to be good." You can't manufacture it. Peace can't be created. How many of you guys have ever planned the perfect date and it went perfectly for you? No? No, because peace can't be created. When we think that we've got all the pieces put together, something comes in and it blows it apart. We can't create a utopia. We can't create peace. The sooner our world figures out that peace is not in everybody liking what everybody else is doing, they will understand that peace can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no manufactured peace. It's not something we create. Grace must be established in a person. Grace is something that is built up in you through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ transforming your soul forever. It's inside out, not outside in. And peace must be grown out of a soul that's satisfied with placing its entire future, physical and spiritual, into the care of the Savior. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul is writing the book of Romans to the people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior there in Romans to explain to them what the gospel really is and its great depth and magnitude. And he's doing this hoping that it will bring them grace and peace. This morning, I pray for you. I pray that you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And I pray that you would trust the riches that Christ has placed upon you to guide you and direct you in your life, and that you would believe that God can handle even your most difficult situations so you can walk in peace.